We now bring to this microphone David James. David and I, with our weekly conversation, focus on an issue or issues that will confront the body of Christ in the near future. We want to give you a biblical and also a prophetic approach to understanding and dealing with these particular issues. So, David is Mike's side. We're ready to go into our conversation. David, this week, I don't think we should start with a question from one of the listeners. Instead, however, I wanted to encourage all of our listeners and supporters of our ministry with how one of our international listeners found our ministry and then got in contact with us. It's quite an amazing story, isn't it?
Oh, you're right, Jimmy, and I have to be vague about this because he's in a closed country where Christianity is illegal. So on Monday evening, I received an alert on an app that's used internationally for communication because it's encrypted, but I didn't recognize who it was. And then he asked if I had any PowerPoints to go with the course Eschatological Systems, which I've taught for you with the School of Prophets, and he had a link to that from my website. And I'm always cautious about people I don't know, and especially internationally because of all the scams out there. So I started asking him questions, and here's the story. He's a former Muslim who became a believer in Christ 6 years ago through watching God TV, which isn't one I would normally recommend, but the Lord can certainly use anything. And he also has internet access and watches John Ankerberg and saw you on that program. And so he looked you up and found you on DCY and has been watching your videos there. And it was through this that he became aware of our discussions each week. So he looked me up, found the ABI website, got my phone number, and used that to trace me back through that app that I mentioned. And he told me that he had just finished watching my course, God's Plan Through the Ages, and that he takes what he learns about the Bible and teaches his family. And he doesn't know any other Christians and is being persecuted for his faith. So this is quite an amazing story, as you said.
It is an amazing story, and praise the Lord. And dear friends, we don't want to tell you necessarily what country he's in, but pray for this believer. He may be one of a few that are able to make contact with the West and in order to learn how to study God's Word. Lift him in prayer as you think about it. Well, another thing, David, I want to mention is the course that you're working on for a school in Africa. Now, I know you've been up to your eyeballs in alligators, and I understand that you've had to videotape a lot of hours this week for this school in Africa.
Yeah, that's right. The school I'm doing this for is the National Theological College and Graduate School, which offers accredited undergraduate and graduate and postgraduate courses in several locations in the Middle East and Africa. And some of our regular listeners may remember that I've taught a couple of courses for them already when I was in Uganda. Those were Christology and Soteriology, which is the doctrine of salvation. And also I taught current theological issues. And they had asked me if I could sort of be on call to fill in if a scheduled teacher had to cancel. And they normally schedule their courses and teachers 5 years out, but they had a cancellation. So they asked me if I could do an introduction to the Bible course and have that ready within just a couple of months. So this is a 32-class course. And they said I could build on my God's Plan Through the Ages course. So I did about 4 classes on the introductory material, which included talking about the Bible structure and the doctrine of inspiration and revelation in general, as well as a short section on Bible study methods. Then I had to expand my 10-class God's Plan Through the Ages course to about 28 hours. So this all took a huge amount of work. And then this week I've been recording these 32 classes and uploading them to YouTube. Then because of the lack of internet and good computers in on the African side, someone on staff with Word of Life Uganda is downloading those and the syllabus and student notes, and she'll put them on a flash drive and get them to the 40 students scattered around the country so they can start taking the course a week from Monday.
And if we cannot go out to the world, we'll use modern-day technology to be able to reach these pastors in Africa that need to understand how to study God's Word and then teach their people. Pray for this situation as well, folks. the man who contacted us, who is listening to our programming and studying from what we have on our website and on our YouTube site, and now this group in Africa as well. Well, David, let's move on to the inauguration of Joe Biden and the change of administrations this week. First thing I wanted to discuss was the predictions that were out there from self-proclaimed prophets who turned out to be wrong about President Trump serving another term.
Well, that's right, and it's been very interesting to watch. A couple of days ago, Christianity Today ran an article with the title, Failed Trump Prophecies Offer a Lesson in Humility, and it also had kind of a strange subtitle. Instead of persecuting prophets who have apologized, we might do better to join them. But then the author of that article is charismatic himself. The lead paragraph said this, the failed prophecies of Donald Trump's reelection may have damaged the credibility of the U.S. independent charismatic wing of evangelicalism more than any event since the televangelist scandals of the 1980s. They have led some outsiders to criticize Christianity itself and rightly call us to introspection. Another website, Jimmy, ran an article titled, Charismatics Are at War with Each Other Over Failed Prophecies of Trump Victory, and the article went on to say, a day of reckoning has come for modern-day prophets in the Pentecostal charismatic movement who falsely foretold a victory for President Trump in 2020. One charismatic leader calls it a rebuke from the Lord. And it goes on to say a major speaker in the movement calls it the largest scale deception I've seen in 49 years of following Jesus. And yet another pastor is blasting parts of the movement as being quote-unquote sick. So others have apologized for getting it wrong and have gotten accusations and curses and even death threats. But it's not just the charismatic prophets who got it wrong. Right up to Election Day, QAnon adherents, and even many otherwise careful and thoughtful believers were buying into conspiracy theories and reports of something big that was just around the corner.
And I just remind our listeners, Jesus in his Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24, in verses 4, 5, 11, and 24, said, watch out, there will be false teachers in the last days. Well, that last point you brought up about QAnon, I want to continue that and get more deep into that, if you will, how the President Biden taking office might affect those who have been involved in QAnon, and what this means going forward, and of course with sincere believers who were actually pushing even other theories that the Trump administration somehow was going to pull off a last-minute victory. Just give some insight into that, David.
Well, Jimmy, I've been very concerned about this, and some haven't really helped our cause in trying to be voices of reason and be balanced and realistic. Back in the fall, we talked about QAnon and our concerns about how this conspiracy theory saw Donald Trump as our savior from a worldwide cabal, and it's made inroads into the church. And I was asked to write an article for Ariel Magazine based upon that discussion that we had, and that article's coming out in the spring in a few weeks. And I recently became aware of another twist in the story, so I contacted the editor and was able to add a paragraph, and here's what I wrote. Another plausible account of Q's origin, as reported by the Federalist, is that it was originally a hoax created as a harmless troll to get people thinking, quickly spun into a mythical persona whose cryptic words developed into a full-fledged conspiratorial worldview for a growing audience. And so they were trying to get a rise. It was a hoax, possibly, to get a rise out of Trump supporters. And then a couple of weeks ago, you and I became aware of a letter by a Republican operative in Nevada who recited QAnon talking points and even called for the vice president to be taken down as a traitor, something that can carry the death penalty. And this is a brother in Christ who is, I believe, doing his best, and some believers calling for his prosecution. So some troubling things, I would say.
Yeah, very troubling. David, let me just kind of change the focus a little bit on the same overall thinking of what we're talking about today. I want to discuss the transition into the Biden administration. And I want you to tell us, what do you think about his inaugural speech? And what are your thoughts to think about all the actions that he took in his first 2 days in office?
Well, as I listened to the speech, I'd say my first impression was he was trying to strike a tone of civility, and that's commendable. But I would say that it was long on generalities and short on any clear direction, and it was a relatively short speech. He did go after white supremacists quite strongly and domestic terrorists, which is legitimate, but he failed to mention Black Lives Matter or anything about the destruction of cities across America by Antifa and its supporters all last summer. And a greater concern were the actions that he took on Wednesday and Thursday, which I think are just the tip of the iceberg and could foreshadow difficult days ahead for believers if other liberal policies are enacted as quickly. There were 30 actions that I counted, and a good number of them being related to executive orders reversing President Trump's policies. He's reengaging the World Health Organization, even though they were complicit with China on the coronavirus. He's rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement, stopping the Keystone Pipeline, which could hurt our economy. He's launched an initiative concerning the racial equity. Equality is about equal opportunity. Equity is about taking from some to give to others to guarantee equal outcomes. So there are too many to discuss today, but what strikes me is that they were largely consistent with the Great Reset we talked about a couple of weeks ago, which is a radical global transformation in the wake of the COVID pandemic.
As I introduced this conversation with David James, I talked about the fact that we will want to give you biblical and prophetic scripture that will help us understand how to live in the days, these last days, in this world before Jesus Christ comes. So, and we've talked, David, a lot about 1 Timothy chapter 2 regarding praying for rulers and those in higher authority. And a part of that passage says to give thanks for all men. Now, that's a pretty tough statement. How can believers do that for those they strongly disagree with? How do we continue to think and act biblically?
Well, that's a great question, Jimmy, and it actually came up in a Facebook discussion I was in just this morning, and some people were saying they just weren't, even believers saying they weren't going to thank God for President Biden. It's a tough issue, but I think one thing we can thank God for President Biden about is that there's been a peaceful transfer of power so far. Second, he is calling for civility and compassion, and that's something to be thankful for at the moment. And if things get more difficult for believers, then that just means more opportunities to follow Jesus' word, who said to love your enemies and to pray for those who spitefully use and persecute you. So it's an opportunity for us to shine as believers.
Paul the Apostle not only gave 1 Timothy chapter 2 to Timothy to give to us, but he also said in Thessalonians, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, if you want to be in God's will, give thanks, as 1 Timothy 2 exhorts us to do. David, I thought this was a very interesting and very profitable conversation. We tried to give some insight along the way, and we pray that it will be able to assist the born-again believers especially to move into the future. Thank you so much for your hard work and research. We'll do it again next week with another issue.
Thanks, Jimmy. Great to be with you again.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'll open the Bible. We'll take a look at the book, putting all the reports from the broadcast partners together and seeing what God's prophetic perspective would be on the issues discussed. That's all ahead right here on Prophecy Today.